News is breaking late that Tesla Motors has made a bid to buy SolarCity. Tesla shares are down hard late while SolarCity is soaring.
We should note that the stock has traded as low as just saw, 195, down more than 11%.
The Fed is looking at UK's European Union membership vote and the US's labor market for when to potentially raise interest rates.
But opinion polls suggest the result is too close to call.
And if we vote leave and take back control, I believe that this Thursday can be our country's Independence Day.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10 and it is Wednesday. It's the 22nd of June, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. We could have a rough ride ahead today, not necessarily on the markets, but with the weather. We'll be keeping a very, very close eye on things today as we move through the morning and through the afternoon. As you heard Tim McGill say, there could be a very stormy day. Now would be a good time to reread your storm preparedness information, have a plan ready for later on today. It's been generally a quiet spring and summer so far with severe weather, so you want to be aware of what's happening today and have a plan and be ready to go in case you need it. And of course, we'll have our eyes to the skies as well with the full complement of the WGN Chicago Weather Center on duty to keep you posted. We also have some big news happening around the world. Let's get right to the WGN market desk this morning. As you heard Vic say, the markets are mixed generally around the world this morning. Asia stocks mostly higher. In Europe today, stocks mainly mixed. The European Union is out with another poll today. There's another poll on the Brexit vote that's happening later today. You heard Boris Johnson and others in our opening there talking about it, but there was one last debate last night. Billed as the great debate on the BBC, those in the Leave argued a Brexit would free up billions of dollars in tax revenue, and each year to Brussels. Scottish Tory leader Ruth Davidson with the Stay campaign says a Brexit could cost the UK lots of trade revenue as well.
You have to be 100% sure, because there's no going back on Friday morning your decision could cost someone else their job.
The last day of campaigning also featured the British Prime Minister David Cameron on that same program.
Let's not make this choice to cut ourselves off from the world, to damage our economy, and let's recognise that the big challenges that we face, whether growing economies, getting more jobs, tackling huge problems in our world, we're better off if we fight them together.
Analysts generally agree that a Brexit would cause a state of major problems for the world economy, including right here at home in the United States. Some other news yesterday, Americans still apparently want to own their homes if they can't afford it anyway. That's according to a new study that's being released today by the Harvard University Joint Center for Housing Studies. The pressures of student debt, rising rents, and leftover wreckage from the old housing bust have restrained people's ability to buy, even though their dream remains alive. The report sees reasons for both optimism. More millennials are poised to leave the nest, and concern rising numbers of renters face extreme costs, those factors determining whether or not Americans actually buy their home. Twitter announced yesterday that they're going to change the amount of video that we can put on our tweets up to 140 seconds from 30 seconds. So what do you feed your baby? Is it regular baby food that you buy at the store, or are you looking for something more organic? We have Chicago-based Organums. Is that how it's pronounced? Organums. Because I was going to say num-nums, organums, but it's Organums. And the CEO is Ashley Rossi. Ashley is with us today. Ashley, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you?
And that's probably like a brain thing for me, because when I saw the word nums, I immediately thought of delicious num-nums, because I have two little nieces, and that's what they used to do when they wanted to eat was num-num-nums. But it is delicious food, it looks like. And give us an idea of why you started this and why you're in business.
Well, so I'm super glad that you actually read that when you were going over the name, because that's exactly why I wanted to incorporate Nums into the name of the company, right? Because it seems like universally, either it's the baby or the parents that are saying num nums. And so, you know, you just kind of combined organic and num nums and you have Organum. So I completely understand what you're saying. So I actually started the company because of my youngest son, Luca. I was taking care of an entire household and making all of his food from scratch, which was super time consuming. And there just weren't any alternative options. So I decided to give parents an alternative option. I mean, I know we're all working really hard and don't have a lot of time, and some of us just need a little bit of help.
Were you also concerned about what you were seeing being sold at stores?
Absolutely. So I had taken an environmental biology class in college, and our professor was a little bit ahead of the curve on a lot of things, and so he showed us some really good documentaries, you know, like Fed Up is one of the newer ones with Food Inc. And all of those. And it kind of really opened my eyes to the food system in general. And so I started implementing some changes into my own life. And so then it was only natural that when I had my youngest son, I did some research into that space as well. And then there was just no way I was going to feed him shelf-stable food.
We're talking with Ashley Rossi, who is the CEO and founder of Organums, a Chicago-based organic baby food company.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. U.S. stocks were slightly higher yesterday as investors digested remarks from the Fed chair. The Dow Jones closed 25 points up at 17,829. The S&P 500 picked up 5.5 points. The NASDAQ composite was unchanged. Small unmanned aircraft are cleared for takeoff. Real estate agents, filmmakers, and countless other commercial operators can now fly the devices without special permission, but there is a catch. Operators will have to register their drones with the FAA and pass an exam. As for full-sized aircraft, Boeing has signed a deal to sell to Iran on the heels of last year's historic nuclear agreement. It's believed the deal is worth $25 billion. If it goes through, the first Boeing plane could arrive in Tehran in October. And a new Harvard report says home ownership is still the American dream, but that it remains a challenge. Student debt and rising rent prices have pushed the nation's home ownership rate to a 48-year low. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Our morning business conversation this morning is with the CEO and founder of Chicago-based Organums, an organic food company for babies, baby food. And Ashley Rossi's with us this morning. Ashley, before the break, we're talking about sort of why you got this started. But let's talk about what it is about the food that's on the shelves now. I was unaware that most of these baby foods are produced at high temperatures, and that takes out some of the flavor or some of the vitamins. Explain that to me.
Absolutely. So what's really exciting about this new HPP segment, which is obviously where Organums fall, so it's HPP, it's also called cold press, is that it's all processed at high pressure or with high pressure, excuse me, instead of high temperature. So what that does is it allows all the nutrients and vitamins and the flavor to remain intact while killing off any potentially harmful bacteria. Whereas the ultra high temperature that we're all used to, or UHT, it just the temperatures of everything is cooked and boiled at are too high for the products to retain their vitamins and nutrients, and especially their flavor. And part of why I created Organums the way that I did is I want everything to be as true to its flavor as it can be. I want it to be as close to, you know, a baby picking up a carrot and taking a bite out of it as they can get, you know, because I feel like kids don't really like fruits and vegetables, but that's because they have very limited experience and it's all, you know, one starchy texture and basically one or two flavors. It doesn't change across the board.
And one of the other selling points behind Organums is too that more kids, it seems today, more children have these allergies. They're starting very early with all kinds of allergies. You have an idea one of the ideas behind what you do is sort of you have just this natural food so you can isolate that and prevent kids from getting sick, right?
Sort of. So there are a couple of other brands that are kind of emerging in this space at the same time as I am. And what I've noticed is they have a lot of multiple ingredient recipes. And when you're first transitioning babies into eating solid foods, you need to make sure that you keep it, you know, single ingredient so that you can isolate any potential allergens. And so I really made sure with my product lineup to keep a lot of, you know, I've got like 50% duo recipes, but then 50% single so that parents have that option. Whereas with the other brands for right now, they're still left having to supplement with shelf stable or supplement by making their own single ingredient.
Organums online again at organums.com. Some of the brands, just organic apple, you have organic carrot, organic peas, so you also have sweet potatoes. So it is, they're just sort of the basic things. Do you, so these are all recipes that you've tasted? Because my sister-in-law, I noticed she actually opens what she buys and tastes it herself before mm-hmm. she feeds it. Is that something that parents you see do often?
So here's what I find really interesting, and I'm actually really glad you asked that. So when I've done different events and I've brought samples, you were hard-pressed to get parents to try baby food. It's like, you know, it's just never really a thought. It's well, that's disgusting. I'm not eating that. It's baby food. Well, no, it shouldn't be that way. You should want to try it. You should want to know what you're feeding your tiny human. And so, yeah, I definitely have tried all of them, not just the ones that I make, but others as well. And I have very intentionally developed a line that not only babies love, but parents do as well.
And this is
they're very. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say this is if you can't eat it yourself, why would you feed it to your baby?
Well, and that's exactly what I don't understand myself. And so it's nice to, and I'm very proud actually of how good the recipes are. You know, green beans even. Who wants to look at pureed green beans and eat it? I don't think anybody does. But I even like our green bean recipe. So it's just fun.
Yeah. So you said that the others are emerging in this space. Tell me about the competition. We have about a minute and a half left. Tell me about the competition and what you're looking at towards moving toward the future and expanding.
So the competition is basically doing similar things to Organums. The difference, though, is, you know, I'm kind of going for an organic way of doing things for parents, not just an organic product, but, you know, like pouches. You'll never find Organums in pouches, and I understand that it's a pain point for parents. They're busy, and so pouches are convenient. The problem, though, is that they're replacing a lot of bonding time that takes place. You know, when you hand an 8-month-old a pouch instead of having that one-on-one feeding time, you're losing that. And then on top of it makes it very difficult for children to transition to using utensils. So I'm making sure to keep us in a cup, just to kind of keep those things away from being issues that our customers ever have to deal with. And I have a lot of plans. And that's what's so exciting about this space. I can break off and do HPP baby juices. You know, there are all of these juice companies emerging, and there's no reason why we can't do that for babies as well, instead of just, you know, the sugar water that's offered for them currently.
Ashley,
go ahead.
I was just going to say we're running out of time here, but you can get more information about this online at organums.com. You can also follow Ashley and her company on Twitter, and that's at Organums. Ashley, thank you for being with us on the opening bell today. Organums, Ashley Rossi.
From ABC News Tech Trends, a new smartphone that could reshape the market. On the surface, it may look like an ordinary phone, but Dana Wolman with the tech blog and gadget says the new Moto Z from Lenovo has one feature that makes it unique.
It has these various snap-on accessories called Moto Mods that you can snap onto it and give it extra functionality.
These snap-on Moto Mods, as they're called, include a projector, a speaker, and a spare battery. And Woolman says there's another surprise.
It is the first phone that I know of to ditch the regular headphone jack, which a lot of our tech-savvy listeners will know is something that's been rumored about the next iPhone.
Instead, the phone will have a USB jack for headphones, but the device will be shipped with an adapter so users can still use the traditional headphones if they want to. The Moto Z will be available through Verizon and begins shipping later this summer, no word yet, on a final price. With Tech Trends, I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:38. Welcome back to The Opening Bell as we continue to watch your money, also your weather today. We're just seeing that the Storm Prediction Center, the National Weather Service, has issued a severe thunderstorm watch for the northwestern part of the state as the storm system moves closer to Chicago for damaging winds and hail and heavy rain. So we'll keep monitoring this. It's moving southeast, east-southeast, so it will be affecting the Chicago metro area later this morning with possible bad storms. We were telling you at the start of the program today that Harvard University is later this morning going to be releasing a study on the state of U.S. housing, and it shows people still want to own their home, but there are some big factors involved with it. Americans are still renting, still have student debt, lots of student debt, and so the outlook is negative, both negative and positive. And with us this morning to talk more about this and other ideas and other things about mortgage rates and home ownership, Barry Sterner of Townstone Financials with us. Barry, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me. Good morning to you, too.
Well, so we were talking about this Harvard study. You deal with this every day. What are you seeing? What are the trends? Are people buying homes, or is it still out of reach?
We were talking about it yesterday in the office. I think we did about six pre-quals yesterday, pre-qualifications for younger people, millennials, actually. Between about 3 o'clock yesterday and 6 p.m., we had about six different people call that were in a big rush to make offers and wanted pre-qualification letters. I just think the media and the public, and I'm not doubting any of the, especially a Harvard study, obviously, but these people are trying to buy houses. There are many programs out there. Best time to buy a house since 2008. Rates extremely low. And there are government programs to help. We were just talking about when you first bought your house and I first bought my house. You know, FHA, 3.5% down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're buying a $200,000 house, about $7,000 that you need, you can get all that as a gift from a family member. It can be gifted to you. There's a conventional loan program that you can only, a first-time home buyer, that you can put 3% down to purchase a home. So there's a minimal requirements. And if you have that student debt and you have a high debt ratio, you can bring your parents. I'm sure all parents listening today at 5:38 in the morning would be happy to get the millennial out of the basement.
Right.
You can bring your parents on the loan. They can, as we call it, co-sign.
And that's something that, has that always been available? I don't remember that ever being an option for home loan.
The co-sign has been available. I've been in the business since 96. They've had it there. I don't know why people don't publicize it. It's a Freddie Mac program, and it goes through LP, Freddie Mac's deal, and they're taking the millennials' debt, which is generally speaking very high because they just got out of school. They're starting to pay back the student loans. They just got a job. And then they're going to take the parents' debt and income. I should say the millennials' debt and income and the parents' debt and income. They mash them together. They put them together, and based on the joint application, they qualify them.
There's a couple of pieces of perhaps misinformation, but I was under the impression that student loan debt didn't count. Maybe it didn't when I got a mortgage. And also that this notion that you had to have 30% down all of the time after the housing crisis. Neither of those true.
That was never true.
Yeah.
FHA, even during the housing crisis, was always doing 3.5% down. So that program has been there forever. I don't know. I think it's been 40, 50 years that they've been doing that program. It went to 5% down for the conventional programs. Now they just opened it up a little more, down to 3% down is the new first. You have to be a first-time home buyer and not own a house for the last 2 years. But that program's been available, I want to say, for almost a year and a half, almost 2 years. The gift portion, where you're allowed to get a gift from somebody for the entire down payment on the conventional loan, that's relatively new.
Yeah.
But you don't need a lot of, you don't need a lot down. Let's talk about credit real quick, because we didn't talk about credit. Many people call us up and say, I need a 720. I need perfect credit, because if you read, you know, any type of reports, they're all talking about that everyone has great credit. That's absolutely untrue. FHA actually goes down to 580 still. The government doesn't have a credit score, but generally speaking, the lenders like us are somewhere between 580 and 620. That's pretty poor credit that you can still get a loan with. Mm-hmm.
The other part of this is the rent aspect. People are paying rents way out of proportion, it seems. The rents have gone so sky high that it's when you compare the two, there really, at least if you're trying to balance, is out no argument about buying a home.
Absolutely. I mean, what we tell everybody is give us a call at Townstone or go to townstone.com. We will do a rent-to-own comparison. So you tell me that you're paying, we were talking a little while ago, $3,000 a month. I will show you that your mortgage with taxes and insurance and maybe homeowner's insurance, if you're buying a condo, is probably going to be less than $3,000 a month, and you're going to be able to own the house. Do whatever you want to the walls, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, coming out of college with this student debt and other debt, is the idea still that you should pay off your debt as much as possible before trying to buy a home, or is that also sort of misinformation?
I mean, when I got out of school, I wanted to pay it down. But I only had about $15,000. When some of these people are getting out of school, I see $30,000, $40,000. Well, if you're making $45,000 a year, very difficult to pay it down that quickly. I mean, they're all doing the best. Mostly they're consolidating their loans. So if you could pay it down, that would be fine. But we're generally speaking taking 1% of your minimum monthly payments, basically, of the total amount that you own on your student loans as your minimum monthly payment. So, you know, many of these people are still making enough money to qualify, and if they don't, you bring the parents on. So paying it down is fantastic, but the rates are still very low on the government student loans. They're not high.
Well, and let's talk about rates, because we saw Janet Yellen yesterday again before the microphones, this time before Congress, giving her semi-annual talk. They're still watching the economy. Interest rates are probably going to go up later this year, but maybe later this year. What's your thought on that? And is now the time to really be thinking about doing a home?
If you have not refinanced in the last 3 years, I mean, we're at 3-year lows right now on the 30-year fix and the 15-year fix. If you're over 3.875 on a 30-year fix, if you're over, I'm going to tell you, 3.375 on a 15-year fix, you should look to refinance. Obviously, those rates are benefiting the purchase market also. Janet Yellen has been talking, and I know I listen to you, you have a lot of people on there, about raising rates in the Fed for a very, very long time. She was in front of Congress. They were grilling her yesterday about low interest rates. Interest rates are low. If I could predict interest rates, you and I wouldn't be here, obviously, today. However, they're low. They remain low. Unless the world economy starts really perking up. I mean, the Brits have a very important vote going on here in another day. Is it today or is it
it's tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I saw the
Friday,
papers this morning. So I just don't see rates going up, especially mortgage rates right now, until the world economy starts to kick up. And, you know, she really doesn't have a choice. It's not her. She doesn't have as much control as we used to have in the United States, because the world is controlling our markets.
She actually even said, I think one of her quotes yesterday was that she's running out of tools. They were out of tools. We're at almost full employment in the country. But remind us how high rates have been in the past. 6-7%, right? I mean,
I got out of school in 1989. My first loan in Springfield, Illinois was 10.5%. I bought the house. We all bought houses. Our parents bought houses. I know you said you bought your first house in the 80s. At 10.5%, people talk to me about 14%. Since I've been in the business, I started in 1996, I think the highest was in 8 or 9%. We had some inflation going on there. So, I mean, people have always bought houses. I'm sorry to, you know, quash the theory that if rates go up a quarter point or a half a point, it's going to kill the market. I totally disagree with that. People want to own a property. They don't want to rent. All the studies point to that. And I talk to these people firsthand on a daily basis, and they just want a little bit of hand-holding. They want a little bit of knowledge to figure out how to do it, and they want to buy a house. I mean, there aren't too many people who say to you, hey, Steve, I want to rent the rest of my life. Right. That's my dream when I got out of school and I want to rent. They want to own something.
And at the very basic foundation of this is that's money you're throwing away, that housing is still one of those investments that will always be a good investment, right? Or is that wrong?
You're paying yourself. When you're paying your landlord, the money goes out the window. You never see a dime of that ever again. When you make a monthly mortgage payment, part of it goes to principal. That's paying down your debt, which you're going to get back when you sell. And part of it goes to interest, which does go to the bank, which you never see again. But you do get a tax write-off. Mm-hmm. And many, many people getting out of school right now They have zero tax write-offs. The only tax write-off they can get, which we don't talk about enough, is the interest deduction when you're making a mortgage payment. So it's a double benefit to them to buy the house, to have the ownership, plus the tax write-off, and it works. So I just don't see any reason why today, if you're out there looking in downtown Chicago for a rental property, which is very difficult right now. I have an employee looking to rent something, and he says it's just crazy what's going on out there, that he can go buy a house.
Barry Sterner with Townstone Financial in Chicago, the CEO of Townstone Financial at townstone.com. Barry, thanks for coming in, getting up this morning, and being with us on the opening bell.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank
Again,
you very
Barry,
much.
Barry Sterner, Townstone Financial.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:52 on the WGN market desk this morning. The Dow futures higher by about 17 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures higher as well. Let's find out what's happening on the commodities market. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Looking back at yesterday's market activity, let's start with the good news. Live cattle futures finally reversed some losses aided by short covering and technical buying. This came despite the fact that in the afternoon, USDA confirmed the sale of 4,600 head of cash cattle at $1.16 in the Southern Plains. But for the day, the August live cattle contract gained $1.25. The August feeder cattle contract gained $2.42. And the October live hog contract dropped 2 cents a hundredweight. Now the bad news, and it was bad news in the grain market yesterday, as we saw corn futures trade at lows that we haven't seen. Well, the biggest one-day drop in 3 years. Corn futures down nearly 6%. That's the biggest one-day drop since September of 2013. And at the end of the day, we were limit down, which means tomorrow, corn futures will trade at the expanded limit of 40 cents a bushel. Corn dragged everything else down, soybeans and wheat lower. You remember last week when I kept questioning a weather market this early in June? I hope you took advantage of it as a producer and sold some corn and beans. And I guess today we decided that maybe it wasn't so much of a factor in last week's weather. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. We will continue to follow your money and your weather throughout the morning as we watch these storms that are moving across Illinois. They will increase in intensity as we move through the day, probably hitting us through the end of the morning rush hour. We'll watch that throughout the morning. Steve Cochran Show is coming up next. We'll have the news and weather and your money, and then be back here bright and early tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock for another edition of the Opening Bell.